Let us pray. Most gracious, most compassionate, most generous God, in words that are now spoken humanly, may the living, awakening, life-giving word of your Spirit reach through and raise us to the purpose to which you've called us. May we hear it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. When I think of the word remember, I hear it on a very particular, magnificent voice. At least when I hear that word as instruction, or as command, there is no question, it will come to me on the incomparable voice of James Earl Jones. And I hear that some of you get that connection. It's a scene from the animated film The Lion King. The great Lion King, Mufasa, has been murdered by his brother. Now the son of Mufasa, Simba, is tormented by grief because he's been falsely told his father's death is his fault. So he runs away to some far-off place and for a long time lives a carefree, devil-may-care life. Until one day, he sees an old shaman monkey named Rafiki. Simba says, "Who are you?" Rafiki says, "The question is, who are you? I know who you are. You are Mufasa's boy." And he takes off running, with Simba trying to keep up. He leads him to a pool of water, has him look in. Simba says, "That's just my reflection." Rafiki says, "Look harder. He lives in you." And then Simba hears his name being called and looks up to see his father's face filling the night sky. He hears his father say, "You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are. You are my son, the only king." And as the face begins to fade from the sky, the deep, rich James Earl Jones voice says, "Remember who you are. Remember, remember." And that is an old plot line, somebody needing to be reminded of who they really are and what they are really supposed to be living for. It's a standard plot because it's so typical of us to forget what matters most about ourselves and how we are to live. And isn't that an odd, odd thing, to forget something so absolutely central? Sure, forget your password. Forget your keys. Forget somebody's name. Forget why you just walked into a room. But forget who you are. When I went to my 10th high school reunion, as we gathered and began to mingle, there was this kind of icebreaker activity that included a sheet full of questions about our high school days. What big events happened? What was called what? Who did what? Well, I knew who the quarterback was, and I could not forget the homecoming queen, and I remembered what the big musical was. one of the questions of several that stumped me was, who was the senior class president? I had no idea. You see it coming. And then they gathered us all back and the answers were called out. Who was the senior class president? It was me. The answer was me. Which probably says a whole lot about what a high-functioning president I'd been. It says much more about what an airhead I have always been. But to me, it also serves as just another ridiculous, clownish example of how clueless a person can be about what is true of their own lives. And from there, we can widen the frame and see how we do this all the time collectively. Whole communities, whole nations, forgetting our history, the best parts of it and the worst parts of it, forgetting the lessons of the past, the truest of our values and commitments and practices that are life-giving, not death-dealing. And we live as if we had no clue. So E.E. Cummings wrote, "Humanity, I love you because you were perpetually putting the secret of life in your pants and forgetting and sitting down." Reasons for our collective forgetfulness abound. We are susceptible to lies. Our anxieties are easily agitated. We are distracted by false narratives, false pleasures, false power, false ego. And the world keeps changing and we can't keep up and we can't handle it. And so we regress or we lash out or we turn inward to smallness. On an individual level, this may be true by external voices screaming at us or interior voices whispering to us falsehoods about who we are. You don't measure up. You don't have enough. You don't look right. You don't love right. You don't achieve right. Better conform. Better blend in, submit, find comfort for yourself in pleasures, bury yourself in them or in grievances. Seek nothing higher, seek nothing deeper, attempt nothing that matters and really costs you something because this is not who you are. Honestly, how does anyone remember the deep truth of who they are with all that screaming in your face or constantly whispered up from your own damaged mind? Jesus understood this part of our human condition and knew very well it would always be an issue with his own people. And so according to John's gospel, on his final night, he addressed this issue with his friends. He had given them bread and wine, taken a towel and washed their feet. He had spoken the most intimate words of his love for them and their love for him and for each other. And then he acknowledged that in the future they were going to need help remembering. And he told them that help was indeed on its way. He said that after he was gone, a companion would come to them, whose work would be to help them remember He was referring to the Holy Spirit, describing the Spirit with this fascinating word that means literally the one who speaks from beside you. Translated variously in English as companion, counselor, comforter, advocate, helper. On his last night, Jesus spoke repeatedly of that promised companion, comforter, counselor, advocate, helper, who speaks from beside us. And at one point he says, the companion, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and will remind you of all I have told you. The love of God knows how hard it can be to hold on to what is most vitally true. Of course we'll be prone to forget, but there's help to be had far greater than the false clamorings around you or within you, far greater than all distractions and delusions and oppressions or reduction of you from the beauty and the power of the deepest truth. Listen, the Spirit, your companion, our companion, is saying, remember who you are. You are a child of infinite love. You are the very handiwork of the Creator of the universe. You are cherished and of infinite worth. You have a Savior and a leader and a Lord. You are not to live in shame or guilt or fear or smallness or despair. You are never, ever alone. Always with you is the presence and the power of God. Always with you is the beloved community. Your purpose, individually and together, is to embody God's love and share it in this world. Your purpose, individually and together, is to bear witness to what is true, to live for what is just and right. Your purpose is joy. Jesus, who taught us all of this and so much more, is vanished from the world. Vanished from a world our eyes can see. But his Spirit lives as companion, advocate, counselor with us, within us, beside us, and among us. And to lean into that Spirit in worship, in conversation together, in devotion, in the hands-on practicing of the Christ life together, we remember over and over and over, yes, who we are. But here's a paradox about such remembering. To reclaim some truth that is precious and vital and old, and to hold it close, is prelude to discovering new truth that flows from the old. In our faith, to remember is a looking backward whose purpose is to move us forward to what we didn't know before. If you and I could recall and reclaim every changeless truth once given, we would still be in need of guidance into new truth too, for the new day in which we live. When Jesus told his disciples God would send a counselor to remind them of all he had shown them. Jesus also said the counselor will teach you all things, not just remembered ones, but newly revealed ones. And so in this same conversation, he went on to say, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. This is such a riveting, radical word that it's hard for me to believe we don't quote it more often. Get this. On his last night with them, he said, I've got lots more to tell you, but I'm not going to, because you can't handle it. So when I'm gone, a spirit will come and will speak new words from me to you. Time will keep unfolding. The world will change. There will emerge new realities, new knowledge, new needs and opportunities and contexts. And the same Holy Spirit that calls us to remember and helps us to remember will speak also in new words from Jesus. Truth we hadn't seen before or heard before, but because we do remember what he showed us before, becomes clear to us now that here is new guidance, new gift. There is so much Jesus didn't mention in his time. But as the centuries moved on, do you think he may have spoken new words? Over forcing children into labor? New words over colonialism. New words spoken over slavery, over racism, over women, over sexuality and gender, over economic and political systems, over creation itself. Do we really think he's had nothing to say? But here all along has been the Spirit reminding us what Jesus taught us from before and coming now to new circumstances, opening our hearts to new connections, new discoveries, new applications and implications, new relationships, new possibilities, new questions. Listen, authentic Christian faith is not a finished religion. Christ is still speaking. The Spirit still leading and revealing. As is often said in the recovery movement, more will be revealed. You know the real reason that all those early Christian communities believed that Jesus was risen from the dead? It is not because some people said they saw him in this or that place, in this or that time. It was mostly because his lively spirit kept showing up and kept speaking to them. New words, new insight, new love, new relationship, new guidance, new opportunities, new empowerment. And still he speaks. And the Spirit says, remember. And the Spirit says, discover. And the people say, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed.